Mama never told me that I was adopted.
You're adopted.
Said I had a mother that was a lesbian.
Your mother's a good-for-nothing fucking lesbian.
Said my real mother's a famous podcaster.
Your mom's Madge Weinstein. Get over it.
She said her name is Madge Weinstein. I said, Mom, where were you?
She was nowhere. She's a dying lesbian. She fucking left you, you stupid little bastard.
Did you ever see a Lipsy, a Lipsy, a Lipsy? Did you ever see a Lipsy? Go this way and that, go this way and that way and that way and this way. Did you ever see a Lipsy? Go this way and that. Did you ever see a Kane, a Kane, a Kane? Did you ever see a Kane? Go this way and that, go this way and that way and that way and this way. Did you ever see a cane? Go this way and that.
Dull Brayet.
Well, that was something, wasn't it? This is Madge Weinstein, food lesbian, food allergic lesbian. I got a hemorrhoid, the same hemorrhoid I had on the last show with Rachel. It feels like it's getting bigger. It feels like a saber-toothed hemorrhoid coming out of my ass. Well, at least it's coming out of my ass and not my pussy. Pussy, like Cheryl's, just comes out of her pussy. Because she has the combination, you know it. So I just can't seem to shave. I took an hour-long sitz bath. It serves me right for doing that election rally when I stood for several hours. It's probably why I got it. And when McCain came on the screen, I said, oh, go take a sitz bath, Grandpa. And here I am in a sitz bath. And these mentholated salt crystals thing, I can't push it back in. I just can't get it back in. Yeah, so I'm really fucked. I think it was from when I had ate the pumpkin pie the other day. And by the way, I'm just doing this because I have to. I determined to complete this Naplod Pomo, which is so stupid, or whatever the fuck it's called. Why do you have a contest or whatever, or an event that you can't even fucking pronounce? Where you do a podcast every day. So I sat on the toilet. I pushed this thing out, and then it prolapsed the anus. It's this huge hemorrhoid. It feels like it really, it's the size of a giant, of like a Rottweiler's molar now, I would say, a back molar. All molars in the back. You know what I mean? Just a giant saber tooth, really, hemorrhoid. And then I was going to go pick up my contact lenses, which I've been meaning to do for 2 weeks because it's $89. And, then I had to shit. And I had to shit, so I shat. And then out comes a lapsy again, a huge shit. And then I thought, I tried to wipe, but it hurt so much. I had to take to wash it and then take a sitz bath. And that took an hour. So I'm convalescing. This is what it's like to be an old woman audience. You get hemorrhoids. I've had this happen before, and eventually it pushes itself back in, but it's very annoying. At least I do. I feel I have some relief due to the sitz bath. Some relief to this hemorrhoid. And I just hope it isn't a symbol for things to come, since I did achieve it during that election night. I'm really hoping it's not that. A sitz bath seems to have helped. Okay. Let's see if this person is there to discuss my hemorrhoid, and then I'm going to go. Hello? This is what happens when you're on green in Skype, and I'm on your friends list. Mark? Mark? Hello? Hello?
I'm here. Hang on.
Well, you're on the radio now.
Okay, hang on. Let me fix this so you don't get feedback.
I don't care. I just want to talk about my hemorrhoid.
There we go. Hi.
Hi, Mark. How are you?
I'm good. Do I sound good?
You sound horrible, but I don't care because I just wanted to talk about my hemorrhoid. My hemorrhoid. It's like a saber-tooth hemorrhoid, Mark. It's horrible.
It's back. It's back with a vengeance.
Well, it never really left. At least not since the other day.
Yeah, I hooked up a nicer microphone. Is
okay,
that nice?
That's better. Yeah, it's better for you to hear about my hemorrhoid. Anyway, right. So I took a sitz bath.
Oh, with the salts, Epsom salts?
Yeah, and they were mentholated. So wow. It's a little bit of relief, but the bicycle is a bit of an issue. And I don't understand why eating a whole pumpkin pie causes a hemorrhoid. Could it have been standing up for 6 hours? I wonder.
Wait a minute. Uh-huh. Bicycle is an issue. Why is a bicycle an issue?
Well, because my ass is what sits on it, and that's where the hemorrhoid is, in my ass.
Are you sure you're not getting, I know someone, a friend,
oh, God,
who got this, a sort of welt in your buttocks?
Oh, no, this is not a welt. I know where my buttocks are, and I know where my anus is.
Bike seat calluses?
No. This is clearly an anal hemorrhoid / lapse. I tried to call Cheryl, but she's not available for consultations today on the prolapse.
I'm not quite as good, I know, but I can try.
It's okay.
She ain't all that.
Right.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even put in the bag of chips.
Can I bore you?
Please do, because I was actually going to ask you some questions.
Okay, you can do that right after I mention this. Okay. Someone was complaining, of course, on Twitter about Obama's plan, at least that's written out, about national service.
I didn't know anything about that.
I think it's really good.
What is the plan? I don't know anything about this.
It's got a lot of layers, and of course, let's see what it looks like when it's actually written down in the form of a law or whatever it's going to be, a bill. So it could change, but the idea is that you have national service, you at a certain age, you're required to do something in your community.
Uh-huh.
I don't know how they exactly enforce the requirement, but they do have this in Germany. You either join the military or you do national service. So a lot of my friends worked in hospitals as people. And
or you killed Jews.
And right, those people. So he's proposing something like that. He also has on a list veterans. What do they call these groups? Veteran Corps, like AmeriCorps. Which actually sounds like he's talking about helping veterans, but also having veterans do things in communities collectively, which I don't know if it would work, but also sounds interesting because so often, veterans come back and, especially if they're on some kind of disability, but they could still do things, they could probably and would enjoy doing some good in some form in their community. But anyway, the requirement for kids at like 18 to have to do national service, I think, is actually quite good for people, especially when we live in an era that people like look at New Orleans or something and say like, oh, that place is, I don't know anything, they just can't relate. But if you actually worked there and helped clean or pick up, just recovery, I think it would be great.
What countries have? I know Israel has it. And you say Germany does.
I think Israel, you just have to go into the military. I'm not sure. I have to look that up. Germany has it.
Well, I know they have it. Yeah, I don't know if they have the alternative, but they have mandatory service, which is the military. But are there other countries that have a mandatory?
I think there are, but nothing comes to mind. Germany's is the best, probably because they learned.
What's the age range that he's proposing?
Let me see. I just closed that.
It doesn't go up to 59, does it?
Well, no, because then he has some kind of like seniors national service. Hold on. It's called change.gov.
Do you get paid for this?
Hoodoo. I think you get compensation, like you ever heard of AmeriCorps?
Yeah.
I had a lot of friends at AmeriCorps in university. They worked in Paterson, New Jersey. Lovely town. And they had their tuition, I think like two-thirds of it paid by AmeriCorps. And they just had to go there once or twice a week. And they were doing things like rebuilding houses or cleaning up neighborhoods. I don't know, in different ways. So here it is. The Obama administration will call on Americans to serve in order to meet the nation's challenges. Obama will expand national service programs like AmeriCorps and Peace Corps, and will create a new classroom corps to help teachers in underserved schools, as well as a new health corps, clean energy corps, veteran corps. I mean, it's a bit much, but...
Whore corps. Obama...
Whore corps. I used to go to the hair corps. It was a place I got my hair cut when I was little.
Mm-hmm.
Obama will call on citizens of all ages to serve America by developing a plan to require 50 hours of community service in middle school and high school. Well, that's not that much. 50 hours.
Per what?
Your high school of service.
Period?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
That's really little. And 100 hours of community service in college every year. Oh, every year.
Uh-huh.
50 hours in a year, 100. I think that's pretty reasonable, actually. Well, Obama will encourage retiring Americans to serve by improving programs available for individuals over 55. That's good for you, Madge. While at the same time promoting youth programs such as Youth Build, I don't know much about that, and Head Start. You know, but people get so upset about this. Like, now you got whoever was commenting back to me. If compulsory national service happens, it's truly the end of the American adventure.
Adventure. You know, this is the first I've heard of it, so I don't know that I would have a particular opinion this quickly, but I feel like we're skipping something, you know? I feel like, you know, there's certainly nothing wrong with the idea of serving your countries in ways other than giving them money. But
yeah, or joining the military to, you know, shoot
right.
people.
It feels like, I don't know, it feels like maybe we're skipping something. I mean, it seems like an awfully, strategically, it seems like kind of a drastic measure, you know? I mean, like, okay, so we need healthcare. Really bad here.
Oh, you're saying there are other priorities, yeah.
Yeah, we need healthcare. Now, I don't know if that's going to help the healthcare situation, but, you know, a 55-year-old, you know, may need to work at Trader Joe's bagging groceries in order to get healthcare before he has time to, you know.
Right. So you're kind of saying before you get to national service, especially for seniors, you also need healthcare taken care of. Well, you first need healthcare taken care of.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what to, I mean. I don't know enough about it. I think kind of like I'm more interested in kind of FDR thing, like all like national projects to improve. And it sounds like maybe that's where that's going. Like, especially if you say there's a green energy thingy, you know, if there's a program to do massive green energy projects like wind farms and solar this and that and put it in a situation where there are jobs created that people get paid for, I think that's great. But if it's just required service where people are required to take time, spend their time doing something without any sort of thing in return when you don't even get health insurance, I think in a way it makes people worse off.
Right. I believe the idea is that ideally all his programs, you know, come into effect. So, you know, there would be that insurance in some form. But, I mean, AmeriCorps is something that when I was in college, the only reason I knew about it was because I had, just like now on the internet, I had so many friends and so many people who told me cool projects they were doing because I was a journalist. Yeah. Otherwise, nobody knew about it. So it's... I think it's something that totally should be expanded because, look, tuition is so expensive. You want to go to university and you know, you don't want to take out loans. Well, look, work in your local city, which no doubt we all have a city next to us that needs so much help. And some of that is very simple. You know, the form of help that requires, the skills that it requires, not very complicated. And you go there once, twice a week for your 4 years of college, and in exchange, it's paid for. You know,
well, as long as there's something, you know, as long as there's something that you get back, like the senior citizen should get something back, the student should get something back, whether it's tuition or something. But I think the overall idea of it is good because it's one of helping each other, which is obviously sorely lacking in this country. So I'll read about it and see. I mean, obviously, it's nothing I can really judge.
I was just pointed to this site, change.gov. I guess it's his site in preparation for being government.
Well, that's a good sign, though, because it means he's willing to take drastic measures that are on the side of social welfare. So that's good.
And I've heard that Republicans actually like these kind of plans as well, often, depending on the Republican, because they feel, and this is sort of almost a non-political concern, which is that the youth of today, which makes you sound old when you say that, are very disconnected from what's going on in a lot of the rest of the country and in reality, you know.
Right, because they're watching TV.
Yeah, and so even conservatives are concerned about that, which is good. That means that such projects can be...
Well, you know, these are things that conservatives would do, too. The difference is they would have churches do it and make the government pay for them, you know,
right.
So they could have sex with choir boys. So what was the reaction like in Europe? What were you doing when our election happened? Sleeping, I imagine, or what?
I was sleeping. I had done some debate in the city of Utrecht earlier in the evening. It was very weird. They rolled me out with three other Americans on a stage. It was like at a concert hall, and we did a debate, so-called debate, and it was very boring.
Was it a master debate?
More or less. Everybody was just talking about how great it was going to be when Obama came to power and what a great campaign it had been. And I
this is a Dutch
took that
crowd.
Opportunity. Yeah, Dutch crowd, but American speaking on stage.
Okay.
So since no one else was doing it, I grabbed the mic and I said, I thought this was one of the, in terms of facts and... like quality of candidate, like being analyzed and discussed in the media. But it was one of the worst elections I'd ever seen. And, you know, everyone was like, YouTube has made this election so interesting. And I was just like, no, YouTube has made this election, you know, funny. And about very little about Rickrolling shit. And so I said it really loud and I just criticized the whole thing. I had to be really critical because people just rolling over. It was just nothing.
There's a lot of, well, anyway, I want to hear about what happened over there. I don't want to give you my opinion.
So then I got a call from the MacDoc man, Mr. Michael Snatch.
Yeah.
He called me. He was at the Milkweg, the Milky Way.
Yeah.
Big party, big packed, sold out.
Right.
He had an extra ticket for me, but I started picturing going to a big concert hall, watching the election till really early in the morning. They're offering
with
free
loud
breakfast,
Dutch people breaking glasses and pushing you on purpose.
Or expats talking in their expat way, like I guess me. And I just thought, you know what, I'm gonna go home and unpack because I just moved.
Yeah.
I'm gonna listen to it was Democracy Now, but I'm gonna listen to BAI.
Yeah.
So I just turned on the radio and I spent the quiet evening from midnight on till about 3 in the morning. When he won Pennsylvania, I said that that's good enough.
Oh,
and
okay.
I actually went to but the next morning I walk out my door and I headed towards Vondelpark. I live right next to Vondelpark now.
Oh,
and I'm going down the street and I see at least three American flags waving in front of houses.
Oh,
and I look
please.
At the windows and there are big Obama posters. I actually think that I have secret Americans on my street who just suddenly, you know, became
Americans.
I can't understand. Yeah, they just, you know, finally had a moment where they were proud.
Yeah.
Also very annoying, everywhere you go, at least for the 1 or 2 days after, I think it's done now, everybody keeps congratulating me.
Well, they do that here too, and everybody's American, so I wouldn't take that. I mean, that is kind of stupid though. But you know, I think there's a difference between pride and a lack of shame. And like, I think I really try to be careful of pride because I think pride is kind
dangerous.
Of inherently sinful, you know, and you know, and I don't really, I have felt a little bit of what I perceive to be pride, but it's just such an embarrassing thing because it just creates this idea of, or emphasizes this idea of nationalism and being separate from other people and the rest of humanity when there's people from, you know, what was it, Senegal, where these people got dumped off a boat the other day because they're these refugees, you know what I mean? Like, but to no longer be ashamed to be American is different from being proud to be an American. And that's, I think, really what I feel at this point. I certainly don't think logically I feel proud.
No.
I just...
No, but less shame. It's true.
Because I don't know if you saw, I posted a video. It was a horrible video, but I did a mashup of God... I wanted to play God Bless America from the rally because I really liked how the singer sang. But I couldn't just play God Bless America alone because it just felt so... insanely patriotic. Not God Bless America was the national anthem, the Star Spangled Banner. And, you know, I loathe that song. It embodies pride in the worst way, you know, and it glorifies war. But I loved the way that it was sung. And so I mixed it with this interview we did before the rally of one of these soldiers who was in Winter Soldier. And he's a member of Iraqi Veterans Against the War. And, you know, and everything he said was completely contrary to the Star Spangled Banner. And, you know, and it was amazing. He said, look, there's torture going. You know, I witnessed torture. There were 400 of us in Washington who all witnessed the same exact events all over Iraq at all different times. And it's still going on today. All this horrible behavior, you know. So,
yeah,
I don't know. Rockets, red glare. Oh, whatever.
No, I think you're right. Pride can be very.
Yeah.
It's. Yeah, no.
So what?
Yeah. Go ahead.
I was just going to ask more about the reaction in the Netherlands, what people were saying, that kind of thing.
I mean, it's just it's been for a while on every front page.
Yeah.
Not just the day after, and it's a big topic of discussion. But you know, people are excited. They're happy.
Yeah.
Because
it's a relief, kind of, huh?
Yeah, I think it is for a lot of people.
Yeah.
I have a visitor here from France, and she was like, I can't believe, I mean, I understand that it happens, but I still can't believe how this election or anything that happens in the United States is so, like, weighs so heavily on people's lives everywhere, or at least we pay so much attention. And I was like, well, yeah.
Yeah, it's like and I think a lot of it has to do with the economics of the situation, that the dollar is...
I think
the...
it's cult.
What's
the
that?
Cultural influence of the U.S. everywhere as well.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, the economy rests on the U.S., and that's not, I don't think, a particularly good thing at this point. I mean, I guess in a way it's good for the U.S., but it's a fucking fragile situation because we're still in denial. The economy is still fucked. And somebody, you know, Kent Bai, who did that echo chamber thing, you know who that is, right? He wrote such a good thing on Twitter that really resonated with me. And he said, you know, the thing is that's different between now and the Great Depression is that in the Great Depression, we didn't have this thing called credit cards to cushion the effects of an economic meltdown. And I think that's where we're at right now, is we're in that credit card cushion. And, you know... It's a scary thing. And when in Obama's sort of lucidity during that speech, I kind of got that vibe. Like, he really understands that we're just in this denial state. I think he really understands the situation. Maybe that's why he's planning on these serious programs. Because when we do really fall, and we have been falling, I'd say half the people I know personally are unemployed. But when it really hits hard and all the credit's gone and... Like those people, I still have some cash and some credit lines. I don't use the credit lines, but it's available to me if the choice is being homeless or credit line, I'm going to take a credit line. But when that shit disappears, then it's, you know, worse. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I really think that they, over the last, I don't know, 10, 20 years, maybe more, they've really made this a tradition, a way of life, this credit, you know, borrowing, and buying things for. So I don't really know that we've changed that much in the last year or two with this crisis.
No, it goes in and out of denial, like crisis, then denial, crisis, denial. It's just, it's weird. It's like it's still happy land. So I guess, you know, by taking people and requiring this public service and forcing them into reality is kind of a good thing. I mean, that's the way I see it. Sounds like that's the biggest advantage of it. I mean, aside from the normal character building thing of helping other people, but just to force kids out of that fucking video game world.
It's hard enough to get people to travel. So, you know, let's never mind that. Just getting people to go to different places in their own country, even in their own states, I think would teach them a lot. But since they avoid it and are able to just simply ignore so much for so much of their lives, I don't think you learn anything. I don't know.
Yeah. You know, by the way, this is interesting because you've been doing this series about the soy and the genetically modified. I interviewed this lady because I was with Justin. He knows all the artists in town. And I interviewed this lady who I hadn't heard of. Her name is Claire Pentecost. And she is the head of the Art Institute of Chicago's photography department. So we interviewed her about, you know, just basic stuff at the rally. Then I turned on, they completely switched our cable TV, as I mentioned the other day. So I'm checking out these new channels. And I flipped to the Sundance channel and she was on there. It's the same woman who I had just interviewed, you know, about other stuff. And it turns out that she's part of this project. I forget what it's called, but it's where they, you may have heard of it, where they, it's artists that do sort of genetic experiments as part of their art. And this guy got put in jail because of it. So anyway, I don't know why I mentioned that, but it was kind of interesting because there's people that are sort of, they were put in jail because, you know, in the 80s when artists would do stuff that Reagan didn't like, you know, they would take their endowments away. Now they put them in jail. And what they were saying in this documentary is it's because the forces, you know, that make these GMOs just do not want people to know about it. They don't want people to know and talk about this stuff. They don't want artists to put this in the public, whatever.
Yeah. And it's just in everything. By the time anybody realizes, it'll be too late to do anything.
They had what's her name on there already, too? That beautiful woman that won the Best Supporting Actress Award with the two husbands. You know who I'm talking about.
For what?
She was in the movie with George Clooney last year. She has a funky name. She was in grade school with Princess Diana.
Oh wow. What the hell's her name?
I just watched
him in Burn After Reading. That was cute.
Yeah, this was last year and it won best. It was a guy's name. Oh, well. George Clooney. What is his name? Let's see.
Hey, did you go see this W film?
No, I haven't. I want to, though. Have you?
No. I don't think there'd be a good copy available on the interwebs yet.
Yeah. Well, there probably would be. Maybe. Mm. I'll check. That's a good thing.
Time to look, yeah.
Yeah, so anyway. So what is with this soy milk? I really like the interview with that girl, but she kept saying so much I wanted to smack the shit out of her.
Yeah, I was actually a little disappointed with that whole interview because she's written on the topic, and I guess she hadn't written in a few months, maybe even a year, and she just did not remember her material, which I think she was
stoned. I don't know this person, but she sounded stoned to me. Yeah.
Later on, she emailed me. It was one of those times where someone emails you with tons of answers to something you were discussing previously. And it's like, all right, well, thank you for the links and stuff. But
she had the information, it just took her a while to spit it out. But what, I mean, I still don't understand the soy milk thing. So is organic soy milk okay?
Organic soy milk is good. Yes.
It's okay.
I would say it's, yeah. If you can find organic soy milk.
They have it at the Trader Joe's soy milk is organic.
Yeah.
At least it says it is.
A long time ago, I spoke to the Vermont Organic Farmers organization. Uh-huh. And they were like, you know, look, our soy milk, we know about the problem in the world, but our soy milk is still made, you know, quote, right. So it is interesting that in the United States, on the small scale, you do have good soy being grown. But it just seems like it's such a tiny little drop in the bucket versus the amount of genetically modified that's being made.
Tilda Swinton. That's the lady's name I was trying to think of. Tilda Swinton, the actress.
Oh, I don't know.
The movie was Michael Clayton.
Oh, I'll go look for it.
Yeah.
So, I want to do more with the soy. I'm trying to get someone in Paraguay because, you know, Paraguay elected the first non-whatever state party, because it's been the same party for so long, the Colorado, I think, party. So Paraguay finally elected an alternative, basically, the opposition. And all of a sudden, you know, there have been lots of problems between indigenous people and the big soy, genetically modified soy growing companies. But now, ever since this election, native people have been occupying the big soy farms. And they're sort of demanding to get their land back, which was taken away or, you know, sold from under them. So it's an interesting struggle.
Is it in Paraguay?
I know a journalist there. Yeah. I know of a journalist, but he's very unreliable and that's infrequent with his responses.
My geography is real bad. Where is Paraguay? It's not in the Amazon, is it?
It's landlocked. It would be under the Amazon. It might even technically catch a piece of the Amazon, but
because I know some of these areas, it looks like it is sort of dead, you know, dead center. It might be. Is there under Bolivia, right? Is that it?
So I would, yeah. In my head, I'm putting it slightly to the right and a little bit lower than Bolivia.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so it seems like to me that from what I remember reading about this stuff is that when they do that, it really fucks up the whole rainforest because then they create, or was it on your show where you're talking about where they have to create a road?
Yeah, yeah. It's just like the old days, you know, in the northwest of the U.S., logging. That's where Skid Row came from, that name. When you cleared, you know, when you were clearing forest, you built a road to go along with it, and gradually businesses and whatever houses sprung up along the Skid Row.
I see.
Skid Road, it was called. Yeah. And yeah, I mean, you know, it's someone would say, well, of course, but that has a major impact.
So does this new election make you want to run back to the United States and get in on all of the action?
Not initially, but I am curious. You know, everybody speculates as to how progressive Obama really is. I mean, I'm a progressive. I get excited just at some of the ideas as I read them now. But no, I'm not, you know, I'll believe it when I see it.
It's hard to, hard to not be skeptical of it because, you know, I remember the whole, going through the whole thing with Clinton and, God, there was so much and I mean, Barack sold, he threw us gay people under the, whatever the fucking expression is, under the bridge.
And this Congress cannot necessarily be trusted. So I don't know.
Yeah, well,
when
I think
you have Democrats. Great.
I think there's different Congress with a different with a Democratic president might be a little different. But I'm concerned with the fact that, for example, he threw us under the truck or the train as gay people before he was even elected by just basically, you know, not standing up for gay people. And I really feel strongly that he was a major cause of all those propositions, you know, down. Yeah, sure.
Well, I mean, I think it's even deeper. Well, how so? You mean the getting out the?
Well, I Christian think when you're a leader, you know, leaders lead. He was in a position to lead, and had he now, like what Vera was saying, that a huge percentage of blacks, like 70% of blacks, voted again, you know, to basically make gay marriage illegal. I just think that as a leader of a progressive movement or whatever you call it of Democrats, if he had said, look, gay marriage is okay. Let's say it's okay. You know, it's freedom. It's just like freedom for blacks. It's the same thing. Everybody should be equal. Then it would have made it a lot more likely to have been rejected and not put into the Constitution, whether that's constitutional or not, especially considering what a close margin it was. But see, he didn't stand up for us. Instead, he let it go under, which makes me think more likely that he's going to go the way of the Clinton don't ask, don't tell, and, you know, everybody screws over gay people.
Yeah, he definitely just didn't take a stand when he could have and should have taken a stand.
And it was basically the same with FISA, you know. And, of course, it's possible, and I hope that that was just election thing stuff, but I don't know.
I'm
extremely skeptical, to say the least.
I was following a few threads on Twitter, but I lost track of, you know, there were big demonstrations to the Proposition 8 in California. A lot of people were, I think, arrested, and some people were missing. And well, of course, you know, on Twitter, everybody panics a little faster, but I wonder what happened in those demonstrations. I've been too busy to check.
Yeah, I don't really know. I mean, there's video, but...
Did you hear, did Al Franken win or not?
They're doing a recount.
Okay.
I don't know if that's been completed. I think it will take some time.
Yeah,
because it was so close.
I don't even think he's from Minnesota, by the way. Not that it matters, but
I don't know. He talks
like a
Midwestern.
Minnesota said that she voted for him, but that she does think it's funny that he's not from Minnesota. I was like, I'm sure at some point in his life he was.
Well, Hillary Clinton wasn't from New York.
Yeah, right. Wasn't it that her ancestors or something? I don't know.
Yeah, well, it's cool having, you know, Chicago, right? You know, he's going to inevitably bring people from Chicago politics to his administration, which should be interesting. You know, I'm curious as to what will happen in the city. I mean, I would think there's a much better chance that we're going to get the 2016 Olympics, which is dreadful. And But I think it's good in a way because there's this issue that's sort of been not really discussed about the Great Lakes and protecting the water there. So I think being from Illinois, he will be much more likely to protect the Great Lakes, keep them from getting commercialized, which is huge. I mean, obviously huge. So I don't know. I mean, I think above everything, beyond everything else, the symbolism is so important and means so much. Just what it says, not only to, I mean, it's not even just to Americans who are racist, but it's also like, I mean, you know how it is in the Netherlands. People are racist there. People are racist against Moroccans. They're racist against dark people. Everywhere I've been in Europe, they're extremely racist. You know, and to see that, and I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but have there been any black prime ministers in Western Europe?
In Western Europe, that's harder.
Or not prime ministers, whatever they call them in the. It's very interesting because it really is a new level of leadership, you know, because there's still so much bigotry all over the world.
It's true. And a lot of European governments are still run by, except for the Dutch government can be quite a little more diverse, at least in ministerial positions. The new mayor of Rotterdam is he's Dutch, but he's of, I think Moroccan descent, Talib.
Good. Yeah, you know, and just like Usama was saying, you know, they made so much. There was so much hype about this. You know, is he an Arab or not? But the fact of the matter is, Obama's father was African and he was Muslim, and that, you know, that's got to be good. That's got to be good for relations with you know, the Middle East.
I was listening to Radio Open Source, and he had, it was the day before the elections, and he had some guy, I forget his name, he's great though, and he was talking about how, I mean, I haven't double checked on this, but apparently Hugo Chavez was saying, you know, when Obama wins, he'll very gladly sit down and talk to him. And the guy was saying, like, look at this, you know, for years, Chavez wants nothing to do with the U.S. president.
Oh, I didn't know that. I just assumed that Bush didn't want to talk to Chavez.
Well, that's more or less true. It's sort of a what came first.
But see, this is where it gets tricky, and I think that's good. But this is where it gets tricky because this is where I can see Obama making a mistake and saying, well, you know, doing the bravado and saying, well, I'm not going to talk to a tyrant like Chavez, you know, even though he knows he should just to do his political centrist thing. But, you know, I'm just afraid of that. I don't know if he'll really be like that. I mean, I'd like to think he'd say, sure, let's talk. You know,
I think if he sticks to his election, at least, you know, it's sort of election policy or promise, he would talk to him.
Yeah, I would think so, too. I would think it's more likely, you know, but I think about this a lot. I mean, this is the real dilemma. I mean, here he got elected by, you know, and who knows if he had stuck to the principles that I wish he had stuck with, would he had still gotten elected? I don't know. You know, and it is a country of 300 million people and.
They are quite centrist/conservative.
Yeah, and what other country that's humongous, I mean, are you able to get a government that isn't a dictatorship? I mean, I don't know. It just seems like it's really hard when you have so many people to get a decent government.
That's true.
I think it's pretty impressive.
The center of the country has so much power, the sort of, you know, areas where there aren't that many people, but there's still... As states, they still have a lot of power.
And I don't know about what you were saying about the quality of the campaign. I mean, it's hard for me to judge that because to me, every campaign has had so much bullshit in it. And just the fact that this didn't have a Bush in it made it a better campaign. But and there was, certainly on the McCain side, there were so many lies. And that last weekend, they were calling, robocalling with the terrorist and shit. But the thing is, I've completely lost my point. Well, that's different. But, fuck me. What was I going to say?
Oh, the quality of the campaign you thought was fair or good.
No. I wasn't going to say that. I was just leading into something else that I forgot. But it's just that, I know what I was going to say. Like, I was talking to this, the lady from the Art Institute, you know, who really talked about the way that the media changed, the way that communications changed, and the way that the grassroots are able to communicate. I mean, the structure of the media did change, in my opinion. And regardless of what that message was on YouTube and everywhere else, it was controlled differently. And there, you know, and I saw a lot of stuff happen really quickly that wouldn't have happened if it wasn't for this new technology that we've been a part of. You know, as an example, when that dumbass bitch said, and I don't know if she won or lost, when she said that Congress should be, you know, examined for un-American activities. And then the next day her opponent made like $1 million or something. And, you know, just the fact that Al Franken can get this far and the fact that, you know, all these people voted early, you know, and I think had a lot to do with people like Greg Palast and Robert Kennedy Jr. putting out those pamphlets and saying, here's what we can do about it. You know, the fact that Amy Goodman can put out a message and it gets everywhere really quickly through all these people that do podcasts and blogging. And, you know, there's just there's so much that is the means of communication has changed and it's gotten a lot more. I mean, I really think that people like us are able to get our voices heard in a much better way than before. Do you agree?
I agree. Able, absolutely. I wish that these sources that you just rolled out were more prominent.
But see, and I think so too. But the thing is, I just can't help but feel that those messages are getting out in some sort of weird grassroots way. Because they do appear to be getting out. I mean, look what happened with early voting. It was a huge success. But none of those, I don't think maybe a tiny bit of those people know about Democracy Now! Or Greg Palast, but somehow the message got out there. And I think that how that's working is something that's yet to be understood or examined. But there's some mechanism going on in a grassrootsy, you know, kind of way where the message is being spread. And it must have to do with just, you know, word of mouth. And, you know, in these sort of media like podcasting and blogs and I mean, there's something going on there. I just don't know how to explain it, but I feel like there's some weird kind of communication that's more than just somebody reading a podcast or watching a podcast and reading a blog. It's a combination.
It's a message that's getting passed on.
Yeah. There's some way that things are happening in a very sort of organic way that isn't being explored, I think.
Yeah, I can't argue with that. I think I have seen a lot of it. Go ahead, go ahead.
Well, I just want to say lastly, you know, what was interesting about the Obama rally is the way that the tickets were given out was he sent out an email. You know, he sent out emails like every 5 seconds. You know, one was from Barack, one was from Joe Biden, do this, Simon Says, do this, do this, do this, do this. You know, and it's like you get so many that you get bombarded. Well, the way that they gave out tickets was they put an email out and they said, here is, you know, your invitation. You've helped out with the campaign. Click here and get a ticket. Well, within minutes, it was like a Madonna concert. Within minutes, all 70,000 tickets were gone. So as a result of that, everybody at the rally was somebody who has either an iPhone or is a chronic send and receive presser. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And that meant that everybody there was like a blogger con, basically. Mm-hmm. And there were others, of course, that like they were nice and they invited a lot of the people that were local in the city, but not till the last minute, but into the event. So anyway, that's right. What were you going to say?
I was going to say unrelated, but not to throw our tanned, wrinkled friends under the bus. But Cheryl is twittering all kinds of things as we speak. So that she's unavailable. I don't know. She's twittering towards Twinkle Boy. Whatever. I thought I would mention that and see if I could throw in some controversy.
Yeah. She is a bitch. Let's see. Let me check to see exactly how recently she's... I want to see how long she's been twittering. If it's been... Because I called her earlier.
Well, that was about a few minutes ago. It was about 5 minutes ago.
She's trying to get.
Well, that's it. Maybe we can't accuse too much just for that. Can I tell you something else?
That's okay. Everyone hates her anyway.
Oh yeah, Josh Wolf is on his way. All of a sudden, I sound like a big Twitter fanboy. Josh Wolf is on his way to a Proposition 8 protest. He says not as a journalist, but as a supporter of human rights,
good.
With a camera.
Good. It's weird. It's hard for me to get into it just because I really feel like, I don't know. It's like, it's a battle it's the cart before the horse to me. It really is. You know, and this is why I felt so strongly, and I Twittered something about this myself, which is that, okay, so, you know, when we had this discussion on Eat This Hot Show about gay actors playing gay roles, you know, Wanda and I were completely outvoted by the people, you know. She and I think, and so does Reagan for that matter, who came back to talk about it on the comments, but that really, you know, it's a shame that Sean Penn, who is a straight actor, played the role of Harvey Milk, you know, one of the biggest and most important gay icons, or not icons, what's the word? You know, fuck, whatever he is. You know, and all these people came back. You know, when you fuck with people's celebrity and their showbiz shit and their Entertainment Tonight, they get really defensive. And they were just basically like, no, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who plays it. You know, it's just, it's more important than that. The message is getting out about Harvey Milk. And I said, yeah, but this is something, you know, it really needs to be played by gay people, you know, or else. And so my comment is basically, look, it's okay to have gay characters in movies as long as they're played by straight people. And I guess it's okay for gay people to get married as long as they're straight. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what we're at. You know, I don't know how to verbalize how I feel about it, but we need to grow up a little bit. Yeah, we need to grow up and not be victims and start making some demands. Like, hey, we're not going to go see a movie that's fucking starring Sean Penn when it's about one of our biggest, you know, community leaders we've ever had, one of our most important people, and you can't insult us by having Sean Penn, you know, the Madonna hussy, throw on a fake nose and say he's, you know, gay, because that's okay to be gay, yeah, as long as, because you're just enforcing it. You're reinforcing that it's okay, that being gay is something to be ashamed of. So
yeah,
go ahead and protest all you want, but don't go see Milk. Protest that too.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. No, I'll leave it at that. You're right. It also seems like, you know, it's these demonstrations that are going on, I think, are in San Francisco. It seems to me like San Francisco is not the problem.
Well, in Hollywood too, but yeah, it's just for the same.
It's the rest of the state, if you can reach them.
It's
somehow.
It's hard for me to get my mind around that, just because I, you know, and I, maybe this is what it is more clearly as I think about it, but it became not a gay issue for, I had to, it's not our time as gay people, you know. Biden, yeah, and Obama basically said, we are not equals. Okay, in this election, we're not equals. We're not there yet. We don't get it yet. We're stuck, you know, in the back of the bus still. Yeah. And the way to get in front of the bus is by, I don't know. I just think that we have to do some soul searching as gay people and as queer friendly people in order to fix this problem. I don't know. I mean, you have to be consistent in how you protest. You have to understand the issue and be consistent and understand your identity and where, you know, and not sell out. And that's what it comes down to. And I really feel like, you know, you're selling out when you support a brand that doesn't invite gay people to endorse it, like Procter & Gamble. So many Procter & Gamble brands, you know, will not have brand safe, as it was put to me. You know, right, if you don't see a gay person or any sort of gay roles, role model, not role models, I'm not, my mouth isn't working right.
Yeah, but, spokespeople and or.
Yeah. If you have to choose between a Ford and a Chevy and the Ford shows an example on their commercial of two gay guys buying the Ford, get the Ford. That's all I'm saying. Be consistent.
Yeah, and that goes back to economic power. I mean, realizing your economic power collectively.
Yeah.
That was a big part of the civil rights movement.
Yeah.
And this is civil rights once again.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's it. The news for me this week is my relationship with Mevio or whatever the fuck this is called is finally officially over.
Oh, good.
Everything is done. All the paperwork is signed. And
I feel like I'm talking to someone who just went through a divorce.
It really is. It really is. But I will say that they've handled it extremely well and extremely professionally. You know, in contrast to pretty much, I guess I think the genius, the way that the brilliance of how that was handled was they left Adam Curry completely out of it. But from a business standpoint, it was handled so well that as much as I would like to have sour grapes, I really can't. Because, you know, I haven't really been fired from anyone before, but I've had situations where you have to clean up loose ends and end relationships. And this is probably one of the best ways I've seen it done. They just seem to have handle it really, really well, really respectful in a kind of a human resources kind of way. So I don't, as much as I'd like to have sour grapes, but I will say that I still contend that Adam Curry is a complete douchebag. So I don't want people to think that I'm just being delusional.
Well, at least at the end, things worked.
Yeah. I have to separate the two. I really do, because that relationship that we had on sort of an on the air kind of way is really different from a business relationship, fortunately. Because the business relationship has been good. The actual or the human relationship has been shit. And the what I would call stage relationship has also been shit.
Right. I noticed some of that.
Yeah.
So. Well, you're liberated now. And
yeah, but and my production company that was co-owned. No, it doesn't exist anymore. It's dissolved.
Okay.
So that's good. So it's done. I'm me again, you know. I've sold out, and wow, look at the riches I've achieved. Isn't it great?
Yes, yes.
I mean, all right. Whatever.
Put your coins together. Come on over.
Yeah, well, that's where I'm at now, is thinking in that direction and doing. And as Amy, your ex-roommate, says, stop overthinking it. But
well, see. I mean, yeah. Yeah, but at some point, you know, you have to make sure that you know what you're getting into, and that there is money. I mean, I love jumping into things as well, but there's got to be some planning is needed. So
yeah,
so overthink a bit, but
yeah. Well, there's no more excuses, and that's the bottom line. Whatever happens, there's nothing to wait on. There's no election to wait on anymore.
That's true. That's true.
But I tell you, I was kind of disappointed that McCain didn't win, because it would have made the decision a lot easier. I'd be like, okay, bye. You
know? Yeah.
Felt a little disappointed.
It would have made criticizing the president a lot easier. This is going to be much more complicated.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's going to be easy. Trust me. Yeah. I mean, can you imagine a president that can't be criticized? That's a scary thing.
But you know, I'll miss, again, I was listening to Hunter S. Thompson recordings, and he was talking about when Nixon died. I mean, that was a death, but still, he was really feeling this weird sort of happiness / you know, he's losing his nemesis, and it was something that was automatic for him.
Well, and Reagan was a total anticlimax, because he didn't really die, he just sort of withered away. And by the time he died, he was already long gone, so you couldn't really be like, the wicked old witch is dead.
Yeah, right.
Though Studs Terkel's death, now that was a major loss.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. It's interesting, and it's weird, and we're Chicago, the land of the O's. That's what we've become. We're the land of the O's.
The O's. Hey, I'm joining a it's a new initiative over here, a collective gardening initiative. Well, farming, really. We're going to be raising our own food.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I just find myself, as years go on, I didn't know it was happening, but I'm falling more and more into this alternative economy, alternative lifestyle.
Yeah.
You know, this, I used to call it the squatter world.
Well, it starts as alternative and then it turns mainstream, hopefully, in this case.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it is, alternative music. I mean, alternative music was alternative in the beginning. It's still called alternative, but it's not alternative anymore. You know, there's this one coffee shop. I know that was stupid. You don't have to comment on it.
That's true.
Yeah. There's this one coffee shop, Dollop, that I really like. It's also happens to be the closest one from me, and it's independent. And they serve like this food that's on the label. Not only does it say the ingredients, but it says where everything is from. So it'll say like honey from Wisconsin, you know, nuts are from, say, Ohio. You know, it tells you every ingredient and how locally it was and where it was manufactured. That's like the future, I think.
I agree. Yeah. I think it is a future, and I think it's a future, like, it can easily be done.
Yeah.
It should be done.
Yeah. So.
I think a lot of the, you know, whereas in the 90s, and I guess we're already seeing it, but a lot, like in New Jersey, in the 90s, a lot of places that used to be farms were suddenly these, you know, instant housing.
Right.
They all look the same. Right. I really think we need to, whatever wasn't, you know, sold off into housing, get it back into farming, and whatever was, maybe we should destroy some of it.
Well, this is why this economic downturn, or whatever the fuck they're calling it, because they don't want to say Great Depression 2 yet, because they have to change all the history books to say Great Depression 1 or Depression 1. But gosh, it's already been so beneficial to our country. I mean, we got a new president. Yeah. We're going to have, I mean, and this stuff like what you're talking about with the food could happen, you know, everything. I mean, Max is so right when it comes to the economic thing, you know, and I think a lot of people misunderstand. I had a conversation with, I think, Carlos about this too. You know, it's not a judgment. It's just that economics control. It's not that he's, you know, a particular capitalist. He just understands the way the system works and operates accordingly. You know, and when finances crash, that's how you get change. I mean, you have all these protests and protests and protests, which are helpful. But what really makes the change? When Wall Street crashes big time.
Yeah.
But then that's when the other things, you know, like I saw that movie about the WTO in Seattle. Did you see that?
The film? No, I haven't seen
it. One of the worst movies I've ever seen. Me and my friend were in hysterics. It was so cheesy because it was so incredibly obvious and just a horrible movie. But those people really, the battle has been, really won in a way. And, you know, and sort of like the comparison I would make, it's kind of like when you have an alcoholic and you do an intervention. Well, initially that intervention isn't going to do anything. That person's going to go back to drinking and be a mess and they might die. Or they might live, and eventually that intervention will be in the back of their head and make them sort of get into recovery. And I think it's the same way with like what these protests do, that they stay in the public consciousness, and then eventually once the catalytic event happens, then things can fall into place. Then people understand, okay, I know what they were talking about now. I get it. So. But Charlize Theron, you got to see it. It's so ridiculous. I mean, it's like a campy movie. It's so bad. Anyway. All right. I was going to do a 5-minute show. I ended up doing an hour for this Nivla Plomo homo shit. What a crock of shit that is. I'm not getting any fucking thing done with my future because I'm doing a podcast and a video every fucking day. I'm a douche.
Yeah. I don't like those community exercises because I worry that we make media just for the sake of making media instead of we have something to say. But you've done a fine job.
I support it because it's not a contest. And I have to support things that are not contests because and I think, yeah. And I've always been a believer in quantity over quality, so I don't have a problem with that. But anytime, like, that's why I was happy when Irina changed the way that vloggies work. And anytime there's a way to create community participation without it being I'm better than you, I think is a really good thing. And it's coincidental. It's also at the same time as that stupid podcast award bullshit, which, by the way, I was nominated for, and this is the first time I've even mentioned it, and the voting's already over, hopefully. Because it's a crock of shit. It's a crock of shit. I mean, I'm glad they have a category for gay podcasts, but...
It's still a crock of shit.
Right? It's a total crock. Yeah. It's all about getting advertisers for the people who you click on. Whatever. I hate dishonest things, and that's what that is. Okay, well, thanks for being on the show, and congratulations on your new home. And
thank you.
You're coming to America next month, right?
I am. Coming to America.
All right, well, if you decide to visit the land of the O's, let me know. If I'm here, even, because I'm somewhere else for all I know.
All right, well, I'll talk to you before then, for sure.
Okay. All right, see you later. Bye.
See you.
That's over. Do I have a song to play?
All around the world, I don't look. Cheryl forced her ass cunt. Cheryl thought it was all fun. Pop goes the pearl lips. $2.99 for a plate of shrimp. $2.99 fix the rectum. That's the way the money goes. Pop goes the pearl lips.
Mm-hmm.